everybody get the instructions about our door prize problem? Excellent. All right, so you, like I said, you have till the end of the evening to submit your door prize solution. We'll be selecting at the end of the evening. So I decided this workshop to talk about just some problems, all of a similar type of logic problems. Because, well, number one, because they're fun. Number two, because logic sort of underlies everything that we do, not just in math, but in your daily life. You know, you have to use logic. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people who don't use logic correctly. And so it's nice to address it in a fun way, and these problems give you an entertaining way to talk about the underpinnings of the logic that we use in mathematics. I also read an article somebody wrote in one of the education magazines. He had gone to a workshop conference where someone talked about these 1980 puzzles, and he found them frustrating and difficult, and he thought, well, this was, you know, really I should have spent my hour doing something else. But then he went back to his geometry classroom, and he gave a couple of them to his students, and he found that his students were really engaged and were actually arguing with each other and trying to justify their perspective. And he realized that the skills that they gained by doing, you know, arguing with each other and convincing that their fellow classmates of their perspective on the solution helped them when they had to justify their geometric proofs. And they were using the same type of thinking, using the logic that they had. So I encourage you, even if you get frustrated tonight, to give some of these to your students and let them play with them. But more importantly than anything else is make sure that when they have a solution that they are able to justify it and justify it to someone who disagrees with them. Because that's really when you have to just make sure that you really, you understand what it is that you're saying. So the premise is that you're on this island. The island has only two types of inhabitants. There are the knights, and the knights always tell the truth. And those who are not knights are knaves, and knaves never tell the truth. And so that's where we start. You arrive, you're a stranger. And so here we go with our first scenario. Should I put it up on the board? You guys all have your papers. I won't put it up on the board. So we call the inhabitants A and B. And A says to you, at least one of us is a knave. And the question is, what can you say about A? What can you say about B, if anything? Right? So take a few minutes. Decide. If you've already read it and have an answer, then you can continue. There are lots of problems here. Work ahead. And like I said, be prepared to defend your answer. Whatever you say about A or B, I want to know why you think that, and I want someone who disagrees with you to be ready to make you convince them.
He's lying about it. Man has to be. Everyone is a knight. If he's lying, he's a knave. Right? So that one's a knight. And the other one's a knave. So one's a knight and one's a knave.
At least one. Well.
Because if both of them were knaves.
At least one of us is.
That would be a true statement, and knaves can't tell the truth. So it had to be a knight that said it, and it's a knight and a knave. Okay.
Because he would be the truth teller.
Right.
If he is lying,
then neither of us at
this time.
Okay. Because he says at least one of us is
neither,
and that's
a knave.
X is greater than or equal to one, and then that's a
the four in mathematics is always the inclusive. But
But in English, it's ambiguous, so you're absolutely
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's like, wait a second, I was saying mathematics is true.
Yes, it's the mathematics.
Because he says at least it's E. So it has to be. Because this was his contradiction. Because you can't be a liar and observe a liar.
Well, I can't.
Okay.
I'm sort of cheating, knowing that this statement is can only be false if true implies false.
Right, right. Yeah.
But if you sort of work your way through it, you can convince yourself of that again.
Let's see. Okay. And that statement is vacuously true. But A can't be saying a true statement because he's a knave, so this is impossible, so he must be a knight. Okay. I have convinced myself of it.
And therefore, since you know he is,
but
you know he is.
I still am bothered by vacuously true A implies B statements.
Yeah, those are strange.
Yeah.
But those are the best things.
No, they're the worst.
I think they're the worst.
They're absolutely the worst.
Let me try to convince you that those are actually good.
Sure.
Okay.
So, you know, so like, one way to look at probability theory, right, is that it's all about like logical statements, and you know, it's a map from this, you know, this algebra of logical statements into the interval, right? And one of the properties that, so a probability distribution is like a map from this algebra of logical statements into numbers. And one of the properties you demand of one of the properties that you demand of this map is that, if A implies B, then probability of A is less than or equal to probability of B. So the implies relation turns into the less than or equal to relation. And of course you always want it to be, you know, you're not bothered by the fact, hopefully, that zero is less than or equal to every other number.
I don't know.
So, so like,
I proved to my students the other day that zero equals one, so.
Maybe you aren't bothered.
Using series? Divergent series?
No, using division by zero.
good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes, I told them I would prove.
Oh, it's like
later
zero over zero, and so therefore it's like has to be both one and zero, yeah.
But hidden as A minus B where A equals B.
Oh, that thing, I used to have that on a t-shirt.
My 7th grade teacher. But I like the divergent series. I can use it to show negative 1 equals infinity. I like that.
That's good, too.
Can we say anything about A? So A says at least one of us is an A. A says at least one of us is an A. Can you say anything about A?
A is an A.
A is an A. Why is A an A?
Because if he's a liar, then neither of them is a liar. Because the complement to x is greater than or equal to 1 is x is less than 1, and that would be 0 in this case.
Okay.
So if he's a liar, then neither of them can be a liar. But you can't be a liar and then also not a liar. So that's self-contradictory. So then he has to be a truth teller, which means that... Oh, which means B can be a liar or a truth teller. Because it says at least one of us. Oh, as an A. Never mind. Just
okay.
Yes. Okay. A is a knight, B is an A.
A is a knight, B is a knight. Does everybody agree? Mm-hmm. Everybody agree with the reasoning?
Mm-hmm. Probably
wrong. Well, yeah, agree.
She was leading toward.
I do agree.
Okay, we all agree. Excellent. So now we're working on 2?
No.
So the question came up in 2 about this or. When A says either I am a knave or B is a knight. So or could be interpreted in 2 different ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in English language, there are 2 kinds of ors. There's the inclusive or, which allows both possibilities, or the exclusive or, which does not allow both possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're working in math, it is always the inclusive or.
So it's the and
or. Inclusive or unless it's specified that at least one, but not both.
So both have to be false to make the statement false.
Both have to be false to make the statement false when we use the or. Okay? So it's a mathematical inclusive or.
Wait.
One or the other are both.
But isn't this...
It does have the word either.
This is either or, though, right? So wouldn't that be the exclusive or? Like, it's inclusive unless I use the word either. Like, I believe that putting either in a sentence specifically flags it from going from inclusive to exclusive.
Is that true?
So, I mean, when I'm writing,
either I am a boy or a girl, right? So I'm saying that I am one, but I'm not both of those things. But if I said I'm a boy or a girl, then I'm saying that I could be a boy, I could be a girl, I could be both.
So certainly when I'm writing, I never, like, I always use or to mean, you know, the non-exclusive, and if I put either, it's just for flavor, like,
that was how I
just an emphasizer,
that.
Yeah.
I've never done that.
That the or, even with the either or, is still...
It's just idiomatic, it doesn't actually...
Yeah, it's sort of, it flows more naturally.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, let's solve the problem both ways.
Okay.
Why not? So here's the question. Can we solve it both ways? So in all of these problems, there's always the possibility that no conclusion can be drawn or that there is a paradox, right? Paradoxical. So in that case, they will always, have something to say. Okay? You can say that they couldn't, this is not possible. It's always an option. Because this is an imaginary place. So let me ask, is everybody still working on two, or have you answered two?
Even if he's a knight, because the
second part is
true.
okay, so you knew as a name,
then this would be, that'd be true. That would be true, which can't be true because knaves don't tell the truth.
But it doesn't have to be true. The other part is true, that's okay. Me was knight, that was not a knight.
Oh, but if this is not, if this is true, it, well, it can't, if either one is true, it makes the statement true.
Yeah. Okay, if A was a knave, then that's true, right? So that's not, that shouldn't be. And then B is a knight, but B could be a knave. It could be a knave.
Okay, so let's say B is a knave, then that would make this part false, right?
Yeah.
Can a knave make that part true? This would make the whole statement true. Can a knave tell a true statement?
Oh, so that would make the whole statement true.
That makes the whole statement true.
So it has to be one part true that's, that would be
that is good enough to make it true.
Okay. So then that's not a knave.
We don't want that part to be true. We don't. We actually want both to,
so
if
a,
he was a knave, they both
a
would have
has
to
be knife.
It's like when you have like A or B, and you negate that statement. That's kind of like saying not A and not B.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So then the negation of this statement here, which is A or the I am a knave, or he is a knight, would be I am a knight and he is a knave.
Yes. It's the outside of the Venn diagram.
But I think the way you said it is perfect. The negation of either or is neither nor.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So, strangely enough, nor means roughly and not.
Right.
But you lie then.
You're saying if an or statement is false, then what must be true?
The opposite. The negation of it. So, if today is not Friday, or your name is Mary, your name's not Mary, today is not Friday. And.
Yeah, so what you do is Mary, now, this is false, and that's false.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would be, if I am a name is false, it means.
And then he's a liar.
Or a knave.
No, but I am a knave is false.
So if the statement I'm a knave is false, then what is the true statement? I'm a knight.
Well, that's how you got the knight, and then that would have to be a knight also. So either they're both knaves or both knights?
But no, no, no.
remember, we started with the assumption that A was an A. Because what we found was that if A is a knight, B is a knight. But now we're saying we don't know that A is a knight, so let's see what would happen if A is a knave. If A is a knave, he's lying. That statement is false. And if that statement is false, he's saying, in fact, what is true is that I am a knight. And B is a knave.
Is four another knight?
Or is it possible?
He can't say it now.
Sorry.
He has to tell the truth. You can't say a true statement.
And once this
has to be a lie, the other part has to be
one of
these
false statements.
So what's your conclusion?
If so, that means both of them have to have the same time.
He can't say that. So it had to be nine. If you want to nine.
Yes.
If you ever get
made. So when we made this assumption, when we came to this conclusion, it was under the assumption that A was a nine, so we did not know if that was really valid. So we eliminated the possibility that A was a nine.
Oh, okay. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because if he's a liar, he's a liar about the
location.
Okay.
Be able to tell
when yes.
Anyone
is yes.
Seeing.
So that's the part
where right.
So
let's see what it does to us in the next one.
I don't think I've ever even taught it.
Suppose that instead of A states,
I am A, but B isn't.
So now we have
the but.
Mm-hmm.
So this has to be the lie. Okay, but B isn't.
But B isn't.
Now, what if anything can be deduced?
He's lying.
He's lying.
Right. So you can't conclude because this could be a lie also.
But he isn't a knight. I am a knight, but B isn't a knight. So he's lying.
Yeah. Okay, this is talk about number two. Sure.
Well,
all right, what do you conclude about number two? A says either I'm a knave or B is a knight. What, if anything, can you determine about A and B?
They're both knights.
They're both knights? Why?
Because if it was false,
it being
and the statement was false.
Okay, so if A was a knave,
then A would have to be a knight, and B would have to be a knave. And if
okay,
it's
so
false,
can we
be a knight. So.
So let me go back just very quickly to what you just said. You said if the statement is false, then A is a knight and B is a knave. Does everybody agree with that? Does everybody understand that?
No. Inclusive or. Using the inclusive or.
So here, and this is really kind of an important idea, that if I have a statement that or say the inclusive or, so I'm going to just use variables A, whoops, not with that kind of one.
To help us think.
So if I have a statement A or B, A or B, and if that statement is false, then what has to be true?
Neither A nor B.
Neither
A.
So if A or B is false, means A is false
and B is false,
right? Because if one or the other is true, the statement is true. So in order for it to be false, it means they have and. So what that would mean is that if A is a knave, then he is a knight. You can't have both of those at the same time. So what's your conclusion then?
And then if it's true, then there's two ways it could be true.
Mm-hmm.
A would be a knight and B would be a knight, or A would be a knave and B would be a knight, and A can't be a knave because he's telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be that they're both.
Does that make sense? So once we've eliminated the possibility that A is a knave, we have to consider what happens if A is a knight and make sure that there's not a paradox here, right? So if A is a knight, he's telling the truth. He says either I'm a knave or B is a knight, but I'm a knave is not true, right? Since he's a knight. And therefore, since this is a true statement, B must be a knight. Therefore, they are both knights. Okay? So is that clear? All right. Has everybody worked on number 3? Are we ready to talk about number 3? Not everybody?
How do we feel about a
butt? That's a good question. I like that. How do we feel about a butt? What does butt mean in this context?
It means and.
When do we use and, a but to mean
two
an
things
and?
Have to figure out the
when the when it's yeah. preceding a right. negative and negative statement.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
like but.
You know, so.
But not, this isn't a negative statement. I mean,
boy,
is a positive statement.
B
before.
Is
before.
But
B
is.
But
B yeah, is before. That was right.
It's
when is not.
You can think of situations in which the two things you're joined by and, or maybe a little bit surprising, right? It's raining, but I'm going out anyway, right? It's raining and I am going out nonetheless, right? I am a knight, but so is that. You wouldn't expect that to be true. It's an and. It's a but. That's right. All right, so keep working. If you've done 3, continue to 4. We'll talk about, we'll let you think for a minute before we talk some more together.
That's the beginning.
Oh, you got me out.
There's a funny story about but and. So one time, due to like some unfortunate wording, I had to grade problem of the month problem that was written, the solution was written in like mathematical Greek. And so I was like trying to learn enough off some like learn math, you know, there's a like some document somebody wrote on basically how to learn the Greek you need to read the elements. And one of the things I learned when I was skimming through this thing is that there were like all of these weird conjunctions. All these weird conjunctions in Greek,
mm-hmm.
and they don't correspond exactly to, you know, English or to the Romance language conjunctions. But sort of part of the reason for the subtlety is because, you know, words like and but both mean and the difference between them is this really subtle, like, connotational thing. And so it's the same, I guess, like, for these conjunctions in Greek also, they all mean and. And they're all differentiated in this really subtle way, and that's the new way to tell the difference between them. So, yeah.
So, but a different symbol for each one.
I'm not sure.
So, they use a different symbol?
Oh, well, they wouldn't use symbols. I mean, it's like, they're all just written, right, written in Greek. So, yeah, so there are lots of conjunctions that essentially mean and, but they all have, yeah, different shades of meaning. And the different ones will be used in different places. And it's, yeah.
Well, then
the accuracy, and so the statement collapses. Right?
Yeah. So then,
he has about this paradox option.
It's the trap door.
Yeah.
You can, yeah. So.
So what happens to A if he?
So if A is a liar.
If A is a liar, then he was a knave.
if A is a liar, then that relationship falls apart. So yep. we can't determine
the
both what they are. Okay.
No, this is a lie because they engage.
Because then the whole statement becomes true. Because it's false.
True. Right. False isn't true though. Is it?
False is true.
Oh yeah, false is true.
Yeah.
False true is false.
Right.
False true is true.
So then we can say that he's a knave.
Are you talking about five?
Yes.
Yes.
Because if he says that he's a knave, then it'd be true.
Right, that's what we're saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because either... Okay. Oh, I can't talk about this. Either Alfred is a knight or Alfred is a knave. Wait, no, B.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Number three, yeah, the paradox. Because a liar can remember this.
Yeah.
Okay. So we knew that he was.
Oh, no, I didn't.
If that was
the false part, then nominate A and B. If B is like 90.
But then he said the truth. And if he's a knight, he said a falsehood.
But would that be a lie?
Yeah.
If B is a knave, then this can't be.
We're not even talking about.
So then that can't happen, right?
So it has to be that A is a
knave. I think the falsehood doesn't. It just goes in circles. You don't get anywhere. You can't really I feel good with that answer. I'm going with it, whether it's right or not. I'm going with it.
Right now, we're going to sign up those are the words.
They're true. They're right. The if, then, and, but, or situation changes.
Either.
That's very good.
Either
throws everything off into a different direction.
Yeah, if is a funny, I mean, just as or is a funny word, if is a funny word in less appreciated ways, as you probably already know, but like.
I've forgotten so much of my logic.
Yeah. Although,
that's all I'm thinking right now.
Yeah, actually, if you want to talk about like if being a funny word, there's a nice way to illustrate how it's a funny word. So,
what's that?
So often, or at least in old movies, right, people will say things like, if so-and-so blah, 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 I'll eat my hat. And the point of this is that I'll eat my hat is a false statement. And so when they say that, they're making an assertion. Like, you know, people will say, if P, I'll eat my hat. P, I'll eat my hat is false. So they're making an assertion by saying this about P.
Right.
And
so
that's, yeah.
Zach pointed out to me, I had forgotten how to negate implications. Right? Because
yeah, I probably don't know how to do that.
That the negation of an implication is still an implication. But that's not true.
Oh, weird.
The negation of an implication is that that's not true. So the negation of if A then B is
A is
true and B is not true.
Right, if A then not B.
But it's not an if. It's A is true and B is not true. That's the negation of if A then
right.
B.
Wow, so A has to be true and B has to be not true.
Right.
Interesting. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's... Yeah, I had forgotten about that until Zach.
So then that goes back to scenario five.
Yeah. It changes the yeah.
Right.
That is.
It even goes back to scenario
four. Yeah, could it goes back to scenario
four.
How far back do we go? So
it changes
four.
Four was the one that it came up for me.
Okay, so if he's lying,
then that means
true.
That
so
means
A is true and B is false.
And B is false. But if he's lying, he can't be a knight. So it is a paradox. Because yes, all right. And then in scenario 5,
if so, the negation is A is true.
First part is true. Second part is false. So B is a knight, but he is a knight.
And that can't be true.
Which can't be true because he's lying. So still okay.
Yay!
All right. Clarification.
Just confirm what we already thought.
Yes, that's right. Confirmation. There we go. From clarification to confirmation. Yeah. Ooh, if and only if.
All right.
Oh, that's a fun excerpt. So I've never done this, but so I don't know if Hannah didn't mention it explicitly, but so you can translate the word if into like an and statement. And that's one way to get the negation of an if. And so presumably you can also translate if and only if into a statement involving only ands. I'm not sure off the top of my head how to do it, but that might be useful.
If and only if.
Oh, or, sorry, you can translate an if into a...
The negation would be one would be true and the other would be
true.
Right, because if and only if means they're both true or they're both false. So then the negation would be one is right and one is wrong. But it could be either way, right? It could be A is true and B is false, or that's the opposite. All right. That means there's even more cases to try.
So are we ready to talk about 3 and 4? Is everybody ready to talk about 3 and 4?
Sure.
Right?
I can get it further.
Can what? Yes.
Yes. We're thumbs
okay.
up over here.
Thumbs up. So what can you tell me about the 3? Both knaves. Both knaves. Does anybody want to challenge that? Both knaves. Prisoners.
So A has to be a knave.
Yeah. For scenario 3.
Just because of the statement.
Mm. What's that?
So A has to be a knave. Just because of the statement.
Do you want to explain why? So A states, I am a knave, but B isn't.
Right. This was a collaborative effort, and we decided that, so we were, we decided that Bud is like an ant.
Bud is an ant, that's right.
Oh, right, we said that together. So if he is a knight, he can't say I'm a knave.
So he cannot, a knight could not have made that statement.
Exactly. So he must be a knave.
Okay.
So if he's a knave and he's saying he's a knave, then the only thing that can make the statement false, which it has to be because he's a knave, is that B is.
Because A
is. Instead of B is not, meaning that he's a knave.
But false doesn't work.
All 3 mean knaves.
What's that? False makes it true in a truth tale. But true false, but it's not. But it's true false.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So if we have two things joined by an and, two statements joined by an and, so that I am a knave and he isn't.
Wait, are you talking about 3 or 4?
3. Are you on 4?
Sorry, I was on 4.
Okay. She's ahead of us. All right, so everybody agree?
Wait, so what did we say about 3?
Okay, can you explain again, Laura?
They're both knaves, because but is an and statement, and so he can't be a knight. So if he's a knave, he's telling a lie, and the first part of his statement is true, meaning that if he's telling a lie, the lie must come in the second part of the statement. So the second part of the statement would imply that he's a knight, so since he's lying, we're going to say he's a knave.
Did that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So the but B isn't has to be false.
Correct.
But B isn't is false, it means but B is true. And is the name.
Yes.
Yes. So they must both be named. That makes sense? Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay, let's talk about the if then. Because in scenario 4, A says, if I am a knight, then so is B. So the idea about that statement, the truth of that statement, the truth of the if-then statement is a little bit tricky. It's sort of non-intuitive until you can think about it in a certain way. So let me give you an example. If I said to you, and this is the example I just gave to you, Kathy, if I said to you, if you mow my lawn, I'm going to pay you $40. I made that statement. Under what circumstances would I have told a lie? If you mow my lawn and I don't pay, that's the only time I could have lied, right? If you don't mow my lawn and I pay you or I don't pay you, I haven't lied because you haven't fulfilled the conditions of the hypothesis. So when the hypothesis is false, the if part is false, the statement is true no matter what the truth value of the conclusion. The only way an if-then statement could be false is if the hypothesis is true and the conclusion is false.
And so the thing I forgot about for that was that an if-then statement, when you get the negation, it's not an if-then statement anymore. It's actually an and statement that I always forget.
Okay,
it's
so
the and statement you just said.
Yeah.
So the negation of an if-then statement, the only time it would be false is when the hypothesis is true and the conclusion is false. That's right. Okay, so do we want to talk about that, or with that information, do you want to think about it some more? Are we ready to talk about number four? Yes? Okay. What can we say about number four?
They're both
knights. Okay. You want to explain why they're both knights?
Well, the only way to make this statement false is if the first part were false, right? I mean, the only way to make it false is that the first part were true. So that means he's a knight. But then that would make... and then, so, he has to... If he's a knight, then B has to also be a knight.
Okay, so if he's a knight, he's speaking the truth, and the statement starts, if I'm a knight, which is true, therefore B is a knight, must also be true. So if he's a knight, then he's a knight. And?
So, since you can't make the statement false... then it is true, so the A has to be a knight, and then the conclusion is true.
Okay, when you say you can't make the statement false, what do you mean you can't make the statement false?
Well, because if you were a knave, and he said, if I am a knight, then so is B, that's not a lie.
Okay, that would be a true statement, which
yeah,
you cannot
which make
which
as a knave.
That's
yeah.
right, and therefore he's not a knave, and therefore he's a knight. The knight speaks the truth, therefore he's a knight, and he's a good thing. Okay? So I think you guys are good to go for a bit before we talk again.
For number seven, you might want to talk about whether B's response. B says, there is one. You might want to talk about whether that's exactly one or at least one. Or just consider both cases.
There is one knight among us sounds like to me exactly one.
Okay.
Well, it's one of those things where in conversation that would be it. But in a mathematical statement, if it said there is one knight.
Do you have a book?
Yeah.
But I don't own a single book. I own many more than one book.
But one's a different word than A, right? There is one knight among us.
Yeah, I have
there
one
is
one
a knight among us.
Yeah, do you own one book? Yes, I own one book. I own lots of books. Yeah, I guess the one versus A does make a difference.
A, I agree.
You don't have one book if you
one
have
is specific.
Yeah, because he's saying
one,
that
in German, one and A are the same word.
Yeah, there's
one, not there's A.
Right.
Right.
I'm trying to think, interpret that in mathematics, like
if I said. But this actually brings up one point that in English there's a lot of ambiguity.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
In English. And so then you have to interpret. Right.
Yeah. See, I guess if I was in a math class and I said, there is one blah, 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 then
I would not necessarily mean exactly one.
I would probably mean exactly one, and here exactly would be just used as emphasis.
I mean, there's one. I feel like one and A are a little, like if I said there are two solutions, would I mean exactly two?
I think so. Yeah. Oh, wait.
I feel like when I'm writing and the answer actually matters, then I say either exactly one or... Yeah.
Yes, definitely. I make an effort to...
Yeah.
I guess if I'm in a math class, I always use...
Yeah.
Yeah, I always use at least or exactly,
But I can imagine having a conversation where someone finds one solution and say, oh, are there two solutions? And what I really mean is are there at least two, right? Or, oh, there are two solutions, but it just depends on how I say it.
Oh, yeah, I see. Okay. Yeah, I guess I would say that as well. So, are there two? Would I say that?
Are there two solutions?
Actually, no, I don't think I would ever say that. I think I would.
I think, are there more solutions?
Right, yeah.
But
I would say something like, is there another solution?
Asking this question in stages. Like, is there a solution? Are there two solutions?
That's right.
Are there three solutions? How many solutions are there? Yeah. Like, that could absolutely come up in order. Yeah.
It's funny, like, if I were to try to, if I were to state the thing you just said, I would say it, is there a solution? Is there a second solution? Is there a third solution? So I think I really do use, I think I really always do use in those situations. But obviously, you know, obviously people use these words differently.
I would probably word it in a way
Is there
like,
one second solution?
Yeah. Is there one
third solution?
I would probably word it as like, can you find a solution? Can you find a second solution?
Right. Or can you find another solution or something like that?
Can you find another solution? Yeah.
Because the other way about the night part is true and the gold part is
language,
but the night part is not true.
Language is great.
Yes.
Linguistics. I should have been a linguist.
The more I try to teach students to know what the logic is, the more sympathetic I am to it being not matching like English conversation, you know?
Yeah, I do. especially when I was teaching intro calculus, I felt very often that all of the vast majority of the problems my students have weren't math issues. They were problems with reading, writing, and speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of...
Definitely a lot of
it,
yeah.
It made it seem a little sort of weird and ironic when, you know, people will constantly say, oh, we need better like STEM education, we need more STEM classes, and I think it would be funny if, you know, as people kept chipping away at humanities classes, you know, increasing STEM sort of preparation at the expense of humanities, it ended up causing more and more problems in STEM classes precisely because the problems they're having are not problems with understanding math.
Although I have to say my students have a lot of problems with understanding math. Because they have
contradictory
statements
of each other.
Yeah. That's true. Fair enough.
Although I hear you, Karen, but I think that like the majority of people's issues with language, which manifest themselves in a math class, are really more issues with logic and the fact that and those are really like I don't know. I think those are more mathematical qualities.
Yeah.
Of the language that you wouldn't get in any class which wasn't a math class. Like, I feel like that's the point of a math class. Another point of a math class is to learn to communicate mathematics effectively.
Right.
And that kind of language isn't necessary in a class in which you're writing essays because you want to write in a way which is readable. That's the thing you're... Like, absolute logical... soundness is not necessarily your key goal. Your key goal is like making a solid argument, but that can be sort of like flowery.
Yeah. Well, I still do feel like when students have problems with things like parsing questions, like how do I read it? How do I read, for example, a homework question and figure out what I'm supposed to do? I would say that's not necessarily an issue with like reading rigorous language, which is just language in general. But also there are things like, you know, students always have problems parsing expressions. And
it doesn't mean there's exactly
right. But you know the secret of course is that expression.
Clearly I have problems parsing expressions. This is proving this to me.
Don't we all?
As I do that.
But like, you know, the secret to parsing expressions is that a mathematical expression is precisely like a sentence. It has the same sort of grammar.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sort of suspect that like having issues, for example, like you know, reading, well, I'll say call it math sentences because it's right, you know. Having trouble reading math sentences, I feel like, is potentially just linked to having trouble in general reading sentences.
What they found was the students didn't use connected words, because therefore they weren't building complicated sentences like that. So they decided what they were going to do was just in every single class they were going to really push this idea. So in all of their classes they were having to practice using sentences like this because this, this and this, or
three things
if this then that. Every single class. And that like got their test scores up.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
And I'm torn about it because
it's like that there was like a consistent dialogue amongst all their teachers.
Yeah. So it made it one coherent education.
Yeah.
I bet that had like a lot of impact on
the
tone.
Right.
And not just the fact that there, like the content of the change, but that there was a change, like a concerted
and
effort.
Man, if I'd been at a school like that though, I had a teacher once who like forbid us to use passive voice in essays, and like I discovered that semester that like any restriction people put on sentence structure just makes me angry all the time. So I probably I would have been very angry at that school.
I think it wouldn't have been the right school for me, but
but it's cool that it works. Certainly anything that works overall, even if it works at the expense of students who are doing well anyway.
Zombies.
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 Part 5 is about the island of zombies.
Well, that's frightening. I still haven't finished part 1 though.
It's just the same thing about knights and knaves, except you don't understand their language. And you only ask them yes or no questions.
So zombies rather than...
So zombies lie, humans tell the truth, and when you ask them a yes or no question, they respond bal or da. One of which means yes, and the other means no, and you don't know.
You must take to be false, right?
Sorry.
Right, because he's a knave, he says he's a knave.
Well, then let's first look at what happens when you just negate the whole statement.
So if B is not a knife, then I am. It doesn't matter. Right. No? I'm probably confusing myself. If B is not a knight, if this is, the first part was wrong, or the first part was false, the second part didn't matter.
Yes, but you have to remember that what we're doing here is we're negating the statement, and the negation of an if-then statement is not if-then.
Is it possible to invert? No, because you're my brain.
So that still makes it the last part of true if it's really a name. And it can't be inverted.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I think I'm lost anyway.
Crazy.
Is there like some more systematic way to look at this? Because I'm not doing it.
So there certainly is a systematic way of solving. I believe there is a systematic way of solving any puzzle of this kind, roughly speaking. And I think you may have sort of discovered it inadvertently already. But what's the thing you're doing right now, which you think is not systematic? Maybe think about that.
Well, there's too many choices.
Okay.
And negatives and negatives. Kind
okay.
Of. So.
What do you mean too many choices? What are you choosing?
Well, like my system is to go through all the possibilities,
okay.
Which is not efficient.
It's not efficient. It is systematic, though.
Well, okay.
So you're definitely...
it
yes.
takes me forever.
So when I said, like, I think there's a systematic way to solve all these problems, I meant exactly that.
Yeah.
That there is an algorithm, which you've already discovered, which will solve any puzzle like this. Will it solve it fast? Probably not.
Okay.
But, so the question I guess maybe you should be asking, or the
what's
question
the
it sounds like you're really asking is, yeah.
That's my question.
Is there a faster way?
Yeah.
Does there have to be a faster way?
No.
It's entirely possible that that is the best way. And, I mean, so, okay, this is an aside, which maybe not be useful. So in logic, do you know like any sort of computer science or have heard tiny bits of... Okay, so there's a general class of problems in computer science called satisfiability problems. where you have some big like string, like big tree of logical, you know, you have some big sentence, logic sentence, you know, and you know, A and not B or C, if whatever. Okay, so you have this big mess of logical statements, and the problem you have to solve is to decide whether there's any way to make the whole sentence true. So there's a really obvious way to solve these problems, which is try every single possibility. Like you said, it's super duper inefficient. And, you know, one question is there a more efficient way? So one thing to notice about this problem is that even though it's hard to find solutions, if you've got a solution, it's really easy to verify that it is one. Like if a fairy comes to you and like just gives you the solution, like if the fairy comes and actually gives you an assignment of truth values that makes the whole sentence true, you can really easily check it if you plug it in and grind. So it's got this problem. Sorry?
Plug your own answers in.
Exactly. So yeah. So this problem has the property that if you have an answer, it's really easy to check, but it's hard to find the answers. And this, if you sort of say that in more technical language, this means that this problem is in the type of, it's in a class called NP. It stands for non-deterministic polynomial. The non-deterministic meaning that if you somehow managed to guess the answer, then you could check it real fast. So a polynomial, yeah, I should say it that way. Polynomial means real fast. Non-deterministic means if you happen to guess the answer, you can check it real fast. So it turns out that problems like this, like puzzles of this kind, I believe, if you define puzzles of this kind in the right way, are like equivalent. Like if you had a way of solving puzzles like this, it would be equivalent to having a way of solving all possible satisfiability problems. And it turns out that every problem in this class of NP is equivalent to a satisfiability problem. So if you had an efficient way of doing these exercises, I believe that you would have an efficient way of solving every non-deterministic polynomial problem. And if you had that, you should go to Stockholm. Because, like, so yeah. So it's a very, very deep question. Is there a more efficient way to solve these things?
Right. Plus, I get lost.
Yeah.
Trying to do it the long way.
You know, actually, that's another thing. So you get lost, right? Getting lost, roughly speaking, means you've forgotten what you're doing or something like that. And so there's another... Computer scientists also ask the question, how much space or, like, how much memory does it take to solve a problem? So if you're getting lost in a problem, roughly speaking, you could say that means you're running out of memory, and that means you're running to the issue of what space complexity class, as it's called, is this problem in. In other words, how much scratch paper would I need to solve this problem without getting lost? So yeah, these are all... These are all sort of deep things about these questions.
Okay. Now we gotta
get this right. Still on
number five.
So
you always start with the truth statement. See, up until I started talking to you, I was starting with a lie first. Why do you start with the truth?
There's no reason. It's just when I think true false, true conservative.
That's true.
But another thing to note here is with an if-then statement, you can mix that into a negate and or sort of statement so that it's easier for you to do stuff like if you want to negate something, right? And so an equivalent way of saying this would be if B is not a knight or I am a knight. Would be an equivalent way of saying that, right? If D, then Q, and it's easy to see if you like draw up a truth table, okay?
I honestly don't know what a truth table is.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean,
I'll be just very frank about this.
A truth table is just a thing where, like, okay, if you have a certain amount of statements, you check what happens when each of the statements is true or false. Like, if you just have two here, then you kind of have like four. Different things for checking, whether they're both true, when one's true, the other's false, and one's false, and it's false. When you have three, you go up to like six.
If A is
eight?
A knight, then he's telling the truth, so B is a name. Yeah.
An easy way to think about this. Yeah.
Free time.
Right. So then we want to negate the statement, not this or that.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, right.
So yeah, what would that be? The negation of...
So he's the knight, and if he is the knave, he's lying.
Oh, wait, we're on different things.
If B is a
problem, it's not a knight.
You're on scenario.
Remember, we're not talking about ifs anymore.
We're just talking about... But this is still a hypothesis.
We're done here.
we were doing with the normals.
Right. We're talking about if then. What I'm saying is that we could change it to be a different thing where it just be the statement, not, it could just be the statement, B is not a knight. In other words, B is a knave, or I'm a knave.
Or I am a knave.
Right.
Okay.
Right, because it just, sometimes it's easier to, when you want to negate something, to put it in that sort of, that's those sort of terms. So then, if we have B is a knave, or I am a knave, and that's the statement we want to negate, right? So then, the negation of that would be B is a knight. No, what happens when we negate or, over or? We flip it, you become and, right? So then we have, and I am a knight. Right. But what happens there?
Who's saying this?
A. A is saying that.
Okay.
Right?
Right. A is saying that.
Right. So A is lying, and he's saying then that the negation of the statement would be B is a knight, and...
I am a knight.
Right.
Yes.
Is that possible?
Is everybody done with scenario six?
So yeah. What is he?
Okay, so...
He's lying.
There's a rumor of gold.
Yeah, but right, we assume.
And you ask someone if there is really gold, and he says there is gold on this island if and only if I'm a knight. So let's talk about if and only if. What does if and only if mean? Okay. And if and only if statement is true, if both statements are true or both statements are false. Does it make sense that it's true if both statements are false? Mm-hmm. Because we have the implication is true when the premise is false, okay? So, but in order for it to be false, what has to be true?
One is true and one is false.
So what did you conclude? Can it be determined whether the speaker is a knight or a knave? No, why not?
Is it true under two different circumstances?
What is true
in two different
circumstances?
The statement.
Okay, so whether he's a knight or a knave, there's no contradiction or discrepancy. So it would be possible for a knight to have said it and possible for a knave to have said it. So then what can you conclude?
There's gold
on the island. Why? Because?
The knave would lie.
Okay, if the knave, so if the knight speaks, says there's gold on the island if and only if I'm a knight, that's pretty clear, right? He's a knight and there's gold. If it's the knave who's speaking, he's lying. How do you make this statement into a lie?
If he's lying about being a knight,
it has to be true.
One's true and one's false, right? But there's one that can't be...
True.
And that's he's a knight, right? And therefore, the one that must be true is that there is gold.
Yes.
Okay? So, we got gold on the island.
Yes.
Did you get that? I'm sorry.
Kind of sort of.
Right. And so, I only know... one situation. Okay. B is a normal. A is a knave. C is a knight.
So why can't we have C be normal, B a knight, and A a knight?
If you're not busy, I have a question for the grad student contingent. So, Oh, no. I'm sorry. Oh, wow. That was shockingly wrong. I guess I think of everybody. Okay. I'm just going to rewind and pretend I didn't even say that. So throughout these problems, we've been using the heuristic that like nobody can say I'm a knave. But what exactly are we saying here? Maybe not. It seems like a lot of people are using that fact. But like nobody, whether they're a knight or a knave, can say that.
Because it's a paradox.
Right, but like, what is it? Let me put it another way. There's a transformation rule you can do in these problems, where if you turn the statement "I am a knave" into the statement "false," then everything still works. But what is that? Like, you know, you're certainly not using the fact that the statement I am a knave is false. It's not true that the statement I am a knave is false. Sometimes it's true. But what's going on here? Like, why is all that can be said that, you know, there's this syntactic transformation rule that, where you can exchange false and I am a knave?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Or is there some sort of like deeper basis for this transformation rule?
And we're working with the statement I am a knave.
Right.
Or just every time we're hypothesizing that the person is a knave, then we're saying that the statement is false.
So it's like, basically, the rule you can use is that if you have some person saying a complicated statement, anywhere the statement I am a knave appears within there, you can replace it with the word false, or you can replace it with false statement, and vice versa. In fact, I think when people are writing these problems, they use I am a knave as like a convenient shorthand for the false statement.
I don't know. If I'm doing that, then I'm doing it without phrasing it that way.
Weird. All right. I don't know. I suppose maybe the right way to say it is like, I am a knave is false in every model, or like false in every possible model. Yeah, that could be. Well, anyway, yeah. Oh, well, thank you for at least letting me talk and figure it out. Oh.
Possibility of a knight.
Right.
And you did that because because we went through all the scenarios.
Well,
A is the highest rank.
A is the highest rank, so he could not have said that.
Yeah, I didn't really think about it. Yeah.
A is a normal card.
Right? If A is a knave, then he's blind. Which means he would have to be, it would have to be knave-knave.
But then they would both be lying, which is impossible.
It sort of depends.
Because we have to assume that A said something about.
I think so, yes. Because you asked him the question, how many knights are among the three of you? So what you want to say is that, okay, so we're assuming now that B is lying. So he did not say that there is one knight among us. That means
either said that means zero, that, two, or three.
Zero, two, or three. Right, because it's a negation of that statement.
Okay,
so then let's say what would have happened if A was telling the truth. So we've had that B is a knave. Right. We've had that. We've right. concluded that C is a knight. So then there is one knight, at least. Right. So then what can we say about the A then?
But we're saying that A is telling the truth.
Well, what happens if A is telling the truth? If A is telling the truth, then how many knights are there?
There was 0, 2, or 3.
Right, that's his statement.
Right.
But he said, okay, there's 0, 2, or 3 knights.
Right.
Okay? So then if he's telling the truth, how many knights actually are there? Because B's a knave and right. C's a knight, and if A's a knight, then there's...
There's not 0 and there's not 3. So there's 2.
There's 2.
Okay.
And
it
is true that A is a normal...
Which is...
Or is of lower rank, and that's not true.
True, right? Because he technically, you know, did not lie.
Okay. Right, because he's...
So let's for the sake...
we're playing that scenario. Okay,
right.
Got it.
So for the sake of argument, let's see what happens. I don't know.
Right.
What if A is lying? So he said that there are 0, 2, or 3, right?
Right.
So him lying would mean that there are 2. But if he's a knave and B's a knave and C's a knight, there aren't 2 knights.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's 1. Right. I got confused. But so then.
Me too.
Yeah, exactly. So, but so then.
That's okay.
So then, but if he's lying, then he's saying that there's only exactly 1 knight, which is pretty much what B was saying.
Right.
And
then,
now
said
is that true? Right. But then that's contradicting what he said, the fact that B was a knave.
Right.
Right. So then he can't be a knave.
So we've pretty much decided B's a knave.
Because what happens if B's telling the truth? It's a good idea to run through it all again, just to make sure.
I can't remember. That's why, it's like, can I draw a tree or some kind of sequence thing? Because I can't remember.
Yes. Yes,
that's
you could.
My problem.
Definitely.
That's my problem with memory.
You definitely could.
I need more memory. Because. So, yeah.
Let's see.
Well, wait, so you should probably start drawing a tree, right? Or something.
Right.
So what are you, what's it going to look like?
Know. So, you know, I don't know, A, there's got to be a better way to do it.
Yeah.
A, true, false. I don't know, B, true, false.
Yeah.
There's probably an easier way to do it, but.
I'm just trying to think.
If there's a, or maybe do it this way.
Yeah. So it seems like when you're solving this problem, you're sort of making judgments sequentially, right? You first say, okay, let's suppose that B is a knave. And now, given that, let's suppose that blah blah blah, and you sort of make. So it seems like you are making decisions in a tree, right?
Right. Well,
like,
you're making eliminations and
right.
narrowing it
down. So what you might want to do is do a tree, you know, like that. Like here, you have sort of several trees in parallel, right?
Okay.
So what you might want to do is pick one of them to be the root, you know, the judgment or the decision about whether A is a knave, let's say, being the root, and then always work within one branch. So like. Then you've decided A is a knight, and then you're going to see what happens if B is a knave, and then you get this huge tree. But it wouldn't be that bad. I mean, certainly, that's the point of writing these things down,
right? There's only three things and two choices, so it wouldn't be that bad.
Yeah.
So you're suggesting write it down that way as opposed to out that way.
Yeah, because that way it's going to be...
Well, I've got lots of paper.
But since it seems easiest to start with B...
Right, because B was...
Because once again, we don't
B
know.
B was the guy who said something first.
Right.
So.
Well, A said something first. We just annoyed him what he said.
Was, right. He's the only discernible. So if we say B and then go down that way.
Yep.
Sure. And we could just say like T, F, or whatever. Uh-huh. And so from true, what can we conclude? If he's telling the truth, what can we conclude about C?
So B said A. Said there was only one.
Also, would it be nicer instead of doing this, but like put subscripts almost T and F, and so then we can go along those paths? That might be a little nicer, would it?
Yeah. I'm running out of eraser. See,
just, I'm not sure.
Make
what
a lot of mistakes.
That tree just—I don't know. That tree just might look a little weird.
T and F here.
Sure.
So one way to do it.
B,
so
T and BF.
I think
you
the
tell me.
So I think the way they're writing it looks good, and let me say my interpretation of what it looks like you're doing. So you put a B at like the vertex of the tree, right? That means that it communicates to you, I'm making a decision about B.
Right.
And now there are two ways you can go. You can go B as a knight, or you can go the B as a knave path. So I think what you drew is perfect, but the way I would draw it is draw two like lines or something, big paths coming down from B, and label the paths with true and false. And then there's room for another decision.
Oh,
like room for another, right.
Which is okay.
Well,
oh, no, still the crossway.
Yeah.
He's just saying that instead of at the end of the line,
is true.
Yeah.
Like, exactly.
Like you were labeling the line.
Your path is true.
Itself.
Right, your path is true, your path is false.
Yeah.
And then now there's room at the end of lines for the next, the name of the next person you're going to decide about.
I see. Okay, so B is true. B said that A said there was one.
But we're not going to go up because we're really just discerning
just
down.
Tapping. I'm trying to think of what I wrote over here on this. Okay. So which would make C lying? No. When he said B was lying.
No, no, because, hold on. You said you're going with first B is true, right?
B is true.
Right, so B is saying that there is fact that A said that there is one.
Right. So if we assume that B is being truthful, then C is not being truthful.
Exactly. So then C is nay.
Right.
Huh. Okay. So you could put that at that. So... You can think of each place on the tree as just sort of a world, like a possible world.
Uh-huh.
So you may want to sort of make a note in this world.
So
you just decided in that world, C is a...
C is false.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to get lost in my
Sure.
So
something I often do when I'm working is always write things out in complete sentences unless I've made a conscious decision. Because I'll come back in an hour and look at a sheet like that.
Yeah.
And CF,
yeah,
no.
Back here I started was writing a lot more. Now,
yeah.
Now I'm trying to.
But as long as you can remember it, you're fine. Okay.
Okay. So then if B is not truthful, and he's lying about A, then C is correct, not correct, but truthful. My other picture back. I need like a whole room full of paper. So if B is lying and A didn't say one, then A said 0, 2, or 3. Is that what we were talking about before?
Oh, what scenario were you
working on? Oh, I'm sorry. We're talking about if B is lying.
Oh, if B is lying.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm going to say L instead of F. Lying.
So if he's lying, then C is telling a lie or the truth?
The truth,
exactly.
So this is
why. In this case, C is telling the truth. It's just naturally false. So then what in each, now, I don't know which one you want to go with. I'd probably follow it all the way down or something on one side. But so let's see in this case.
Funny, I would do the opposite thing. There are two ways to write trees, right? Breadth first or depth first.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter really which,
true.
It matters very much which one you do, but choosing which one is the better one is like a huge field in like game theory. So. Yeah.
Right. It's not just personal preferences. Right. You have a reason to do it one way or the other.
Yeah. The point being, it's a hard problem, so don't worry about it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly. But so it's going to be hard either way you take it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Or, I mean, it's a hard problem to decide which you should do, so there's no point in trying to work it,
right.
You know, in this type of situation. There's no point in spending effort worrying about which one you should do.
Right. Well, what's going to work as long as you do everything right. So which world do you want to work in?
Let's go. I go right to left.
Okay.
Okay.
Right to left? So,
I mean, so left to right. I'm sorry.
Okay. Left to right.
Left to right. As one reads. Okay.
Okay. So we're assuming that he's telling the truth.
He's telling the truth. Okay. See, he's lying. Therefore,
so then we can conclude that since B is telling the truth, what did A say?
A said there was one.
Right. So if A said that there was one, and B is saying that that's in fact what he said, so he's a knight, and C is a knave. So what happens if A's a knight? So what happens if he's telling the truth?
Then it's all good.
Well, no, because what did A say? He said that there's exactly one knight. But okay. if he's a knight, then how many knights do you have?
Oh, then we have two knights.
Right.
A B knight and A knight.
Right, exactly. Okay. So then what happens if he's lying?
So then he's a knave. And then B is lying too, which makes him a knave. Then we got too many knaves. Yeah.
It's not too many names.
Well, we don't
it's just,
know
it's just, it's, just so. It's a contradiction.
Okay, yeah. Right. So how do we write that in?
Yeah. So what did you do? So you were looking around in this world. One thing that's true in here is the fact that C's lying. Another thing that's true you found out is the fact that A says there is one knife.
Okay.
So you could just write that. Yeah. That works, Anna.
I don't like the fact that knights and knaves both start with
right.
It's bothersome to me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I can't initialize it because...
So in chess, of course.
So we'll say...
you could use the left letter.
Well, we could also stick with the truth and lie.
Oh, yeah,
instead
sure.
Instead of just...
I like that.
So,
yeah, so one T, something like that. There's one truth teller.
So in this world, but we can't, wait, I thought we couldn't have that. B is a truth teller, C is lying, A is a truth teller.
No. Actually, is A a truth teller in this world necessarily?
No, well.
No, it's not necessarily. It's just like, what happens if he is? So the saying is, it might, because it doesn't follow that he has to be.
Right.
Yeah. Well, at least we don't know that.
Yeah.
Well, he said there was one, he just said this.
Yeah.
So we don't know if it's true.
Did you submit your solution?
Oh, well, I can't decide. I have two solutions. Let's see. I'll make a decision. All right. I'll be back.
Or be back.
She's coming around with a cup. You know, I'm going up
there. Equals
M. Because that's an isosceles triangle.
Right.
So if that's an isosceles triangle, half of AB.
See, that's what I'm saying. Why does the leg? How do we know that it's a 45-90? We're saying it's a square.
That looks like more fun.
But how do we know that?
Yeah. I'm ready.
Wait, it's a square. It is a square.
It hasn't told us that. Okay.
So you've got. So you're in this world where B is a truth teller. You know, you've written down two facts. So are there any other sort of things you can figure out about that world that you think it's useful to write down in there?
Well, we said A said one, but we don't.
Any of these problems that you want us to talk about before we go?
That couldn't be right if B is.
Anybody, you have questions about?
Okay.
So I have to indicate that that couldn't be right if that's...
Okay. What? So why...
They get a little bit more tricky. And the ones that I particularly like... are the ones where you have to ask the question as opposed to figuring out from other people's responses. So the part three, yes, you're innocent, but can you prove it? That's an interesting one. How I became rich. Is another one. The island of zombies is interesting as well. Because there's zombies. But those are quite interesting. And then, of course, the last one
is another one where it's a little bit different from the ones that you mentioned. So I encourage you to keep working on these. Pretty soon we'll be choosing our winner of tonight's door prize. And I'll tell you that the door prize is a copy of the book that all of these problems came from. So now don't you wish you had submitted your name.
But are you a knight or a knave? But are you a knight or a knave? If I asked you what the door prize was, what would you...
I am perfectly normal.
Oh.
The name of the movie,
yeah, but what is the
name of this
book?
Oh, my goodness. What is the name of this book? The Riddle of Dracula and Other Logical Puzzles by Raymond Simonian.
It looks like
it's a really exciting book. And it has solutions to all
the... I need that.
Which is kind of good, kind of bad, because you get tempted. Yeah. Max, are we ready for... It's actually written right in the first paragraph. Because all the problems came from the book.
So, yeah. So, okay, you said that.
But this can't be possible if this is possible. So this, we have to have some way to, like, say this doesn't work.
Can you say what you mean here?
Well, because B can't be truthful. If B is truthful.
Yeah.
Then if A is truthful also, it can't be, because there would be more than one knight.
Okay, so notice what you just did. You just said, if A is truthful also, that means you're branching again. In other words, there are two possibilities here. A is a truth teller, or A is a liar. So, sorry. You don't have... So that's... Yeah. So, well, hold on. So that statement you wrote down, that's still true in that world. So I would leave that there.
Okay.
All right. So A definitely said that thing.
Said that one...
Yeah.
One truth teller.
Okay. But now...
But it can't be true.
Well, so here's what I...
Some of them are not expensive. The one I got for Kathy was actually quite...
But you won it, so it's special.
So wait, what was it?
Next month, Zachary is leading the session, and I think that he's going to keep the topic under his hat for a while.
Okay.
To that. Did she say?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Okay, I didn't hear her if she did.
No, I don't remember her saying yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So what I would do is, so when you branched the first time,
right,
you wrote B to sort of remind yourself that you're branching on whether B is a truth teller or a liar.
Right.
So maybe I would, in this world, then maybe put an A to branch on whether, to say, okay, now I'm going to branch on whether A is a truth teller or a liar. I would write an A there just to make it clear that this branching is separate from the fact that you wrote down.
Over here?
I would still... So this is still something you're doing in that world.
Okay.
In other words, think of... Oh, sorry. Oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
I'll just put the microphone in here. Yeah.
And then this way?
Yeah. Like, what I might do is... Like, inside this world, you've got, like, a little detective notepad or whatever where you're writing down all the facts.
Right.
And then this is now an event that's happening in here. You're going to branch... And decide.
But that's within here.
But not really. Oh, sorry.
No.
I guess what I meant is, here's your little notebook.
Okay.
Where all your facts are. Okay. And then, yeah, so you can write something like that.
Okay.
And so now you're branching. And which branch are you...
So
was the interesting one?
A is.
I'll take your So what happens if A is true?
But A. So if A is true and there's just one night, but we don't know that's what he said.
Yeah.
So is that where we go?
Well, no, we're assuming that B is telling the truth.
So we're still on this line.
We're still in
okay,
that.
B is telling the truth, supposedly. A said
so
one
A
night.
Did
so
say that.
Okay. So if it did, then B is lying.
Which is a contradiction.
Right.
He just tried to ask.
Sorry. I'm confused what you just did. Can you explain?
B is lying.
How do you know?
Wait, A said, because if B is telling the truth and A is telling the truth.
Well, it could just be one of them are lying. It doesn't necessarily mean B's lying.
So hold on,
like
can
A's lying.
Yeah. I don't know. I think.
Yeah. How did you conclude there that B was lying?
I don't know. I have to think about it again. Okay. A said there was one night. So if A is telling the truth. Can A and B both tell the truth? No, because there's only one night.
Ah.
Okay.
So in this world where A is a truth teller,
right.
You know a fact immediately, which is that there are two or more truth tellers. There are two or more nights in this world.
Which makes B
in other words,
lying.
One way to say it, do you mind if I erase
no, go ahead.
That? So this, yeah, so I would say, like, if I were doing this problem, I wouldn't be able to leap immediately to that thing. The first sort of fact about this world I would notice when I was looking around is that in this world, there are two or more truth tellers.
Oh, I see. You're just like, putting down the facts. And
I'm just laying down the
okay.
facts,
all right.
Yeah.
So, just the facts, man. So, how did I do it over here? There are two truth tellers.
Or there could also be three. So, say two or three, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
On the other hand, in this world, mm-hmm. so in this world, in this branch,
mm-hmm.
A definitely said there is one truth teller.
Right.
And in this branch, A still said that.
Right.
This thing gets inherited down the tree.
Right.
But in this branch, also, we know A is a truth teller.
Right.
So this is no longer just hearsay. This is an actual true fact. Because A, the truth teller, said it.
Okay.
In other words, to put it another way,
uh-huh.
At this position, uh-huh. A definitely said this, but we don't know whether it's true or false, because
right.
we don't know about A's character.
Right.
Over here, A still said that thing, but now we can promote this to like a genuine true statement, because we trust A.
Okay.
On the other hand, in that branch, because A said this, it must be false.
Okay. So if A is lying, then there's zero, two, or three nights. Truth tellers.
Yeah.
But that's almost what we have over
yeah.
here.
Oh, actually, yeah. I forgot
right,
the zero.
Zero.
Okay, so yeah, maybe you... So that's a good thing. You just noticed like, a fact about this other world. That
so,
also in this world, there are zero, two, or three truth tellers.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So notice... Okay.
All right, I think that's about it for me.
Okay.
She's been very sweet.
Oh, yeah.
Where is that other
No, this is a good
nice.
Yeah. The tree is really good. I think the idea of, like, I also have trouble remembering things when I'm working constantly, and, yeah, writing things down like this, I find
I
very
I definitely
helpful.
Need that. I write.
Yeah.
I tell my students I can't think. You have to have a pencil in your hand to think.
Yeah.
All there is to it.
I'll leave you sort of with one punchline.
Okay, yes.
Notice that here,
uh-huh.
in this, so you've taken this world and split it into the two possibilities.
Okay.
A is a truth teller, A is a liar. And at least one of those has to be true, right?
Right.
In other words, either this branch is the right one or this
but
branch is the right one.
Okay.
One of these is the real world, even if you don't know which.
Right. Okay.
Notice that in both of these worlds,
uh-huh.
you have exactly the same statement, like
right.
you noticed before.
Right.
So
okay.
because you know that this statement is true in the two possible branches,
mm-hmm.
that means it's true. In other words, even if you don't know whether A is a truth teller or a liar, you know that this is true
mm-hmm.
because it's true in every possible world.
Okay.
So now you can take this statement, and because it appears in both of these things, you could move it up here. You could
move
it up the tree. So now you've discovered another fact about this world. That regardless of whether A is a truth teller or a liar, that thing's true in there.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can solve the whole problem, I think, going up down the tree like this. They go somewhere. Yeah. You can hand it to me.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, nice work.
nice and attractive. Just imagine, not even using the silver pen. Throwing it back.
Thank you.
Throwing back was on
that one, that's been on the third one.